All right, the NBA countdown crew is moments away from revealing the schedule for the first eight games of the Orlando bubble. Is it fair for me, Clinton, to call it an experiment? Will people get mad at me if I call it an experiment? They do need some luck.
I don't know if they're going to get mad at you, but that kind of makes guys feel like lab rats, which is weird because that's what they're actually doing. And we don't.
Aren't we all in this environment?
We don't really want to think of it that way, you know? So it's an experiment in the macro. We'll just keep it up there because I don't want to think of the fact that we're experimenting on NBA athletes in terms of pandemics. That's not really where we want to be. You know,
I don't know. Right. By the way, when you look at the way the significance of these eight games is going to be, are we going to need a play-in tournament? And I actually think it's unlikely, especially in the East. I don't think we're getting one in the East. But even in the West, Memphis is 3.5 games up, Clinton, with eight to go. A lot of people think New Orleans and Portland could make a run. But let's say they do. Let's say New Orleans and Portland, one of them goes 6-2 and the other one goes 7-1. They would still need Memphis to lose four or five times in order to not, like, I think
to not
what
trigger
is,
the playoff. But is that even an option? I thought that the way that it worked, and I'm not sure about this, I thought that this was right, is that once Memphis clinches, that's it.
No, you're correct.
They have to stay in competition throughout the course of the eight games in order for those eight games to actually happen, which I think is not only the smart health decision, but also the smart competition decision. Memphis should get an advantage at the position that they're in, and they will. So I actually don't mind that part of things for the Grizzlies specifically, also because I love Ja Morant and he's the beast, but that's a whole other story.
So here's how this works specifically. If the ninth seed finishes the regular season within four games of the eighth, it triggers the play-in. But Memphis would be on a double elimination plan, and the other team, you know, New Orleans, Portland, whoever,
right,
would be on a single elimination plan. So there's a tremendous advantage for Memphis. And I've seen Memphis play in person four times. It's not just Ja. I mean, Dillon Brooks is good. Jaren Jackson's good. They're very well coached. Taylor Jenkins is a candidate for Coach of the Year. I think Memphis is getting that eight spot. How about you?
Absolutely. And Memphis deserves that eight spot. I mean, just in terms of the basketball they've played. Listen, you can say all you want about the Zion star factor and all that. John Morant came to that team and made the basketball team a better basketball team. Every single player on that team has improved. First of all, they're more fun to watch. And second of all, they are effective. I mean, you know, there's nothing much else to say. It's very rare that a rookie comes in and doesn't just shine, but actually makes the team that much better. This is a better story, America, than Zion and the Pelicans. It is.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think it is.
I mean, I think Zion, because of how much time he missed, sure, it would be cool if he made it back to the playoffs. But the work that's been put in by the Grizzlies, this is good in terms of just the larger context of not being bad. Memphis is a good team. You know, they're not very good. They might not be excellent, but they're a good team, and I think that that team deserves it, and I think they're going to show it in these eight games.
Well, the reason I think that the better story could be New Orleans is because all the old Lakers are on the Pelicans.
Sure.
Brandon Ingram's on the Pelicans. And by the way, the reason we're focused on this is whoever gets the eight is the team that's going to play the Lakers. The Lakers are 5.5 games up. So unless something absolutely extraordinary happens, the Lakers are the one. So whoever gets that eight seed is going to be the Lakers' opening round opponent. And strangely, Clinton, now I'm going to argue kind of out of both sides of my mouth, even though Memphis, I believe, deserves it and is going to get the eight, I strangely think they're the best matchup for the Lakers. I think New Orleans and Portland, because of players they'd be getting back and because of the talent on those rosters, might be a tougher out. The Lakers have beaten Memphis four times this year. One of those games was a one-point win. But this is the old be careful what you wish for. But I think the Lakers actually match up the best against Memphis if you had to pick between those three.
I tend to agree with that. And also, I think there's an element of, I don't want to call it a distraction, but not just the matchup on the court, but that's an extra storyline that gives you a little oomph going into that series that makes that bad boy a little harder than you think if you're dealing with that kind of nonsense with the Pelicans. You know, it's for a first round matchup. in a scenario that's already a little off kilter, you don't need any extra motivation from your opponent. You know what I mean? To try to get you up for that in case you get bounced. I mean, not that they're going to get bounced in the first round, but you know what I'm saying? Everybody seems to think that this is the tournament where somebody might sneak by, you know what I mean, and upset somebody in the first round. You don't need any teams that you're familiar with potentially harming that. So I agree that the better matchup there is Grizz.
By the way, Adrian Wojnarowski still reporting that J.R. Smith is the leading candidate to replace Avery Bradley on the Laker roster. What do you think of that signing if it happens?
It's really unfortunate that Avery Bradley has to step away, mainly because I really thought he'd established himself in terms of maybe not the best
player. He's been really good.
But he's been there. He's been a consistent guy. He's been a defensive stopper. And I'm not saying he's making everybody better, but he's reliable defensively. And, I mean, basically with him in, that's the best lineup. So I understand that JR is familiar in some sense, but it's not even as much about JR as much as it's about losing Avery Bradley, in my opinion, which is unfortunate, but he's got his reasons. And that's, you know, one of the things we're dealing with going into the bubble.
Well, and the other thing is, it part of this is who LeBron trusts. Who is he comfortable right. when he draws? You know, I try and explain this to people. In the playoffs, the stars, the elite stars, the guys like Giannis and Harden and LeBron and Anthony Davis, all their minutes go way up. If they average 35 a game in the regular season, in the playoff games, they play as many minutes as they need to win the game. They'll play a lot of 40-minute games in there. So if LeBron is, and the reason is, that's what breaks down your defense. If you single cover LeBron, he's gonna shred you. So they're going to double him. And who do you want open for that jumper? I think J.R. Smith's actually a pretty good choice. By the way, July 30th restart openers, Jazz Pelicans, 3:30, Clippers, Lakers, 6 o'clock.
Woo! Get pumped! Fire up the grill, y'all! Patrick Beverley's going to be clapping in LeBron's face. Very excited about this.
6 o'clock on July 30th. Wow. Welcome to the NBA restart. Clippers, Lakers, 6 o'clock Pacific.
Perfect.
On July
Perfect.
30th. Hello.
Having a cookout. We're doing it.
Oh, man, that's
We're
great.
We're doing it.
So they
the grill on the deck, blasting the game, yelling. This is
okay,
fun.
So this means, Clinton, this is significant. Because it means they're not sticking to what the old schedule was. You know, they're right. not, in essence, picking up where they left off. There was one Laker-Clipper game left, and they're going to run it right to the front, which is...
That's
wow.
a drastic attitude change going into what would be the little training camp. I mean, that's... And quite frankly, I think if you're the Lakers, you wanted that. Because that was always the discussion this regular season. You remember that when I kept saying, Ireland, I'm like, okay, guys can beat whoever you want. You ain't beat the Clippers. You know what I'm saying? And until it happened, you know, it's kind of like, this is a good reason to want to push coming back from a basketball standpoint. You're coming into that game and you got your boys right there.
Can you imagine
that game off the break? That's not what you want. That's a big game.
Can
right
you
off the top.
Imagine the rating for that game? Oh. Especially in Los Angeles.
That's wishful thinking. Now. Yeah, it's going to be big. God, this is going to be big. I'm very excited about this.
And so Zion is the warm-up game at 3:30, and then the Lakers' eight seeding games are as follows. Clippers, Raptors, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, Pacers, Nuggets, Kings. That Kings Ooh. Game, by the way, Clinton, could mean something to Sacramento. They're one of the teams trying to get back into
get
the play-in
in, yeah.
tournament.
That could happen. That could be important by that time. But that Raptor, I mean, first of all, the Clippers is obviously a big game. But this, man, okay. That's a nice slate of competition.
How about this?
For the
next
Lakers, for
the
sure.
next night, Celtics-Bucks followed by Rockets-Mavericks. They're just coming out of the chute here with monster games.
They have to. That's what we're doing all this for. The stakes are high, Ireland. That's the thing. All these games are going to be bangers. And by the by, don't think I'm sleeping on the fact that one of the rules is that other players can go to other games. That is important in the fun factor in this. That's almost what I'm more excited about because of all this stuff than anything. It's going to be great.
So, Clinton, listen to this. On July 31st, Orlando, Brooklyn at 11:30 a.m., followed by Grizzlies, Blazers, Suns, Wizards, Celtics, Bucks, Kings, Spurs, Rockets, Mavericks. It's just like the NCAA tournament. They're just teeing it up at 11:30 in the morning and playing games straight through the night.
That's fantastic. That is, wow. I'm thinking about how fun that's going to be when that rolls out and whether or not as a product that's something that people are going to want to move away from by the time we get back to the others. You know what I'm saying? To our regular schedule. You know, people are going to get used to these six-game bangers and all of a sudden it's going to be like, what? Doubleheader? One night? Three games on a Sunday? That's not enough. You know?
So how about this? Really, Lakers-Clippers played opening night, Christmas Day, the last Sunday before the pandemic, and now the restart. Those were the four Laker-Clipper games. And by the way, the amazing. Clippers won the first two. The Lakers won the most recent one. And they're just going at it right out of the gate. I love this.
This is fantastic. Smart play out of the NBA. Not that there was any other way to go. You know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously, if you had to bet on it, you probably would have assumed that. But, you know, you also might have assumed that they could have put it last. You know, if they were gonna mess with the schedule, we didn't really know what it was gonna be. But coming out of the gate with this is fantastic. And you know, even if you're a Clipper fan, it's fantastic. This is a big game. That's a huge game, man.
And the games are starting to trickle in. Here are the dates of the Lakers schedule: Clippers on July 31st, Raptors on August 1, Jazz on August 3rd, Thunder on August 5th, Houston on August 6th. In Indiana on August 8th.
So that's three off days in that entire stretch of, what, 10 days?
It's every other day until you get to August 5th, and then they play back-to-back.
Okay.
It is, wow, this is going to, now I'm really rooting for this to go. I mean, I think that we obviously, you know, everybody's rooting for the best health we could, but now this would be really, really fun. All right, now the Clipper games. The Clippers schedule looks easier to me, Clinton. Here are the Clipper games. They open against the Lakers. Then they play Pelicans, Suns, Mavs, Blazers, Nets, Nuggets, Thunder. Those are their eight.
Yeah. I mean, if you got the Suns in there, you know what I'm saying? Well, then you're automatically an easier schedule. I mean, that. Okay. All right. I mean, I'm not going to say you rest your starters, but like, there's an element of that in there. That's a gimme for sure.
All right, and let me give you the Laker games again. Here they are, eight of them in this order. All right, starting on July 30th at 6 o'clock, we'll have the game for you here on 710 ESPN. It'll be nationally televised. It is in this order, starting on the 30th: Clippers, Raptors, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, Pacers, Nuggets, Kings. The first four of those games, Clinton, the first one's going to be on TNT, Lakers, Clippers. The second three are going to all be on ESPN. Raptors, Jazz, Thunder, the first four of the eight, all nationally televised. Wow.
Man. Okay. This is exciting.
The Lakers have a 5.5-game lead over the Clippers. That's enough, right? Even if the Lakers were to struggle a little bit and let's say go 3-5 or rest LeBron and AD, it would be the Clippers would still have to go 8-0 to catch them. So I don't think that is in jeopardy, but if the Clippers beat him in that opener, that means the Clippers win the season series 3-1.
Okay, but I mean, like, home court advantage doesn't matter now. You know,
there
like,
is none.
That's what I'm saying. So that's kind of, I don't want to say it's immaterial. I'm sure there's a little pride in, you know, taking home whatever was just equivalent to, you know, some sort of regular season pennant. But, like, that doesn't really matter that much anymore. It didn't really matter that much before because the only idea was so that you could meet them as late as possible. But, like, does the lead make much of a difference to you at this stage, Ireland? Like, you know, you're all playing in the same place. So what
difference? I just went, you know, the only thing that I really care about, and this may be incredibly self-serving, I want LeBron and AD to get to the playoffs healthy.
Right.
Like, I might not even play him in that back-to-back. The people will probably be mad at me for saying that because I know they want to see those guys play. But I think that's how the teams are going to think.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You get a Suns game dropped in there. Yeah, you can go ahead and sit some guys for sure.
Wow. Okay, so we'll let you guys react to this. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. The Lakers schedule's out for those eight games. We'll let you react to it. Clinton Yates in for Mace. We still, later this hour, have Radio Tinder coming up. We've got Game of Games next hour. Still got headlines for you. Whole bunch of stuff happening now, 710 ESPN. All right, today it's Clinton Yates in Ireland. And,
what's up, gang?
And this is a cool thing we get to do now, Clinton. 710 ESPN is proud to salute all of our frontline workers as part of, we call this Thank You Thursdays. We ran out of time yesterday, so we're going to do this today. It's presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Today, we get to talk to Ralph Punzalon, who is an infection control nurse at a nursing facility. Clinton, I can't imagine anybody who's doing more important work now than people like Ralph, who is online. And Ralph, let me start with a thank you. And I understand that you're an ESPN listener. You listened to our show before.
Yeah, definitely. I love Maze in Ireland. I love all the shows on ESPN 710.
Yeah, well, nice. we are forever grateful for the work you're doing, man. Tell us what it's like being an infection control nurse at a nursing facility right now. I would imagine it's pretty stressful.
Yeah, it's pretty hectic. You know, you got to stay on top of making sure you have your PPEs on. You got to make sure you're hand washing properly. Try to avoid touching your face. And in my position, I have to educate our nurses and our nurse, our CNAs. So, you know, it gets difficult trying to be on top of them and trying to make sure all of our patients are safe and well taken care of as well.
Quickly, what are you doing for fun just to keep your, just to keep yourself in good spirits? We say thank you as well, by the way.
For fun, I try to work out a little bit. Couldn't really go to the gym, but I was glad I was able to build a home gym before all the COVID stuff happened.
Nice.
Yeah, very smart. And on they tell me, Ralph, that on weekends you work at another nursing facility where you do wound care for the elderly. Man, there's a special place for you in heaven. I'm telling you, this is a brutal time for everybody. But as a thank you for your service, we're going to give you a $500 thank you gift. It includes a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, a $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shuteria.com. Most of all, Ralph, your girlfriend, by the way, nominated you, so spend some of this money on your girlfriend. But we wanted to say we wanted to say thank you for everything you're doing, man. I know people probably don't hear that enough, and we wanted you to hear it from us. What's your girlfriend's name, by the way?
Her name's Aggie.
Okay, well, tell her thank you for nominating you, and most of all, man, keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, sir.
That's Ralph Punzalon, who is an infection control staff worker at two different nursing facilities. So good for
Ralph. Hero, that's for sure.
Yeah, amen. All right, so we're reacting to the release of the NBA schedule. What we've got are the eight games the Lakers are going to play before the playoffs start. So if you are just joining us, the Clippers will open, or the Lakers will open the season against the Clippers on July 30th. Then they go every other day, and here's how it goes after that. So August 1st, Toronto. 2 days later, Utah. 2 days later, OKC. 2 days later, Houston. 2 days later, Indiana. 2 days later, Denver. And then Sacramento. So originally we saw a back-to-back in there. Now that I look at this closer, Clinton, I don't see a back-to-back, but it won't matter. No. The Lakers are probably going to use these eight games just to get everybody ready for the playoffs. And so now we got to focus on who the eight seed's going to be. And looky here, if you're a believer in conspiracy theories.
Which I am.
I am too. The easiest schedule statistically, like if you put all the numbers in a computer, the New Orleans Pelicans.
Shocker.
Who are trying to get into the playoff tournament and get that eighth spot. So Memphis has a little bit harder of a schedule.
Man, they're hating on my man Ja. They don't want him.
But I still think Memphis gets it done. Now, the important thing is, and by the way, one of the teams that's trying to chase Memphis is Memphis's opener. It's at 1 o'clock on July 31st. Memphis and Portland are going to play right out of the gate. And then the Spurs are going to play Memphis 2 days later. So we'll know early on whether Memphis is dialed in. They've got two games against teams trying to catch them in the standings right out of the gate, and they have
by that Portland matchup, though. Ireland, like they're getting Collins back, they're getting Nurkic back. Like that team is borderline transformed. You know what I'm saying? Without getting two players back, moving on from two other players, I'm very intrigued by what the Blazers are going to bring to the table, especially since, you know, sort of what Dame said in the offseason about just sort of, not the offseason, but the break, you know, about where they are with their heads and stuff. That team is going to be fascinating in terms of what they do.
Well, the other thing we had to talk about here is, you mentioned it earlier, no home court advantage for anybody,
right,
which is really the losers in that are Milwaukee and the Lakers, because the Lakers earned home court. They, you know, and they were going to have their home fans, and they've been great at Staples Center. Here's Adrian Wojnarowski talking about that aspect of this whole Orlando experience, that the Lakers have lost home court. Here's Woj.
When you think about what the Lakers lost in this hiatus, mm-hmm, not just Avery Bradley, but they lose the home court advantage that they would have had in the West.
Yeah.
And even against the Clippers, a 7-game series against the Clippers for the Lakers, it's going to feel like 7 home Laker games. And that was part of the reason why Rob Pelinka, the Lakers GM, had talked during the hiatus with other GMs, the league, about other advantages that we could get based on the fact that we earned that seed along with Milwaukee. You know, those really don't exist. But that is a huge advantage for the Clippers, Denver, Houston, that you're not facing a game 5, a game 7 environment on the road. And that is no small thing in this reformatted playoff.
He's right, Clinton, but it's the same for everybody.
Sure, but there are certain teams, like you said, that, I mean, the Lakers lose the most in this scenario. From home field, from home court advantage, I think. I mean, it's not that it's an intimidating crowd the way an Oracle crowd is, but it's, you do games in that building. You know what I'm saying? If you've never been there and you see somebody in the playoffs, you know, walking in there, they're kind of wide-eyed. I mean, it's still an important space in the NBA world. I mean, the Lakers, a big part of what I think they were pushing was like, hey, by the way, reminder, we're the Lakers. You still got to come to Staples and beat us. That's kind of off the table. So, I mean, look, as much as this might favor the Lakers in terms of they're not necessarily needing to do that much to get in as the one seed, they're the largest overall loss in home court advantage is to that team, for sure, in the whole playoffs.
I'm trying to think. It seems to me that Milwaukee is still the overwhelming favorite as long as they have Giannis. But boy, Celtics are young. Toronto looks pretty good, even though they don't have Kawhi anymore. With Philadelphia with a healthy Embiid and Simmons, is Milwaukee a lock to come out of the East?
I don't think they're a lock. I mean, I'm very intrigued by what Philly can do. You know, I was talking the other day. You know, we were talking the other day, and I just, the Embiid on a break element, I'm intrigued to see what this human being looks like. You know what I'm saying? I just want to see what that team looks like. We got Ben Simmons out here putting thirst traps on Instagram with him, you know, lifting weights and all this other stuff. Let's see if he can hit a three. Like, there's going to be a big reveal element about all of this once guys start suiting up. And I think Philly is that team that could be the one. Let's not forget what happened last season. You know, Philly was supposed to go on.
Well, I picked him to go to the finals this year.
A bounce away. You know what I'm saying? Like, this team, if this is the way that it takes for Joel Embiid to get it together and make 3 months of his life the most important basketball months of his entire existence, Sixers got as good a shot as anybody, in my opinion. They really do. They just got to figure it out. We'll see if that happens.
So the schedule's out. We've posted it to the ESPN Los Angeles social media accounts. You can check it out there. But the big story is Lakers Clippers on July 30th, opening night of the restart, on TNT at 6:00. 6:00 on July 30th. It's the fourth and final Laker Clipper regular season game. Of course, a lot of people couldn't think they're going to meet in the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
But let's see. Let's see if they're going to, and let's see who wins the season series. If the Lakers win it, it would be 2-2, with the Lakers winning the last two of the season after the Clippers won on opening night and on Christmas Day. Boy, I hope this thing goes. I hope this, this is really exciting. Okay,
now coming
up next.
You've got something down on paper. It's hard to say that you don't want it.
Yeah, coming up next, Radio Tinder. Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, time for Radio Tinder. This is Clinton's first crack at this. Basically, we throw a bunch of topics at each other, and you get to decide. If you swipe left, we're moving on. You swipe right, we're talking about it. Clinton, I'll go first. Our friend Rob Parker wants to change the name of the Masters Golf Tournament. Swipe left or swipe right?
I'll swipe right on that.
Okay,
just
so
to hear it.
Yeah, Rob's argument is that we've lived with the Masters long enough in this time of black empowerment that to have a tournament in the South called the Masters invokes just nothing but references to slavery. Rob points out in his article that he wrote for Deadspin, even Uncle Ben's, Mrs. Butterworth's, and Aunt Jemima are all out of work. Their racist, stereotypical images won't grace the packages of some of our longstanding food products soon, but let's not stop there. The Masters must go. Clinton Yates, if we left it up to you, would you change the name of the Masters?
You know what? I would, actually. I'd probably name it something just after Augusta. I think that branding would apply plenty fine and people would not forget what it is. I hadn't really thought about that. That's actually an extremely cogent argument from Rob, in my opinion.
And if you name, I don't think it's going to happen because the Masters, as you know, like are very, very slow.
God.
Oh, yeah. And they didn't even let any women in until 2012.
Bro, they had ran their tournament songs commercials just because they could do it when people started dropping off. They are loaded.
and by the way, they didn't allow any black people into that club until 1990.
Correct.
So I think they'll be, but you're right. If you just called it Augusta, one word, like you said, who's playing at Augusta or who won Augusta, it would totally work. Yeah. You wouldn't have to say the Masters. I mean, people would probably still call it that out of habit, but it would totally work. You're right that if they just nicknamed it Augusta, it would work. So it's an interesting idea from Rob. I don't think it'll take, but your suggestion to just call it Augusta completely would work. Funch. Nice. All right, Clint, it's you.
Okay. What? Okay, I'm reading these for the first time. Sorry. New pizza topping debate, iguana or nah? This is crazy. The pineapple on pizza debate has driven a wedge between families, friends, and pizza enthusiasts for years. How is that driving a wedge between people? Pineapple is good on pizza. Anyway, instead, what do you think about topping
your
next
slice? Wait, you have to ask him if he wants to swipe left or swipe
right. Hold on, do you swipe left? I don't know Tinder. I don't understand how any of this
No, I'm swiping right. Keep going. I want to know.
Okay,
I'm going to defend pineapple.
We're barreling through because when the word iguana comes up, I keep reading. Okay, pineapple might have drawn a wedge between people, but what about iguana meat? File it under pizza toppings only offered where? Of course, in Florida.
Oh,
State
God.
Inspectors found an 80-pound iguana stashed in a freezer at a local pizza joint.
Okay,
something tells me that iguana had something else inside of it. Pizza Mambo in West Palm Beach was forced to temporarily close following a routine inspection that uncovered the frozen reptile. A restaurant employee told the South Florida Sun Sentinel that the reptile was gifted to the owner and stored in a freezer away from the food.
The most amazing thing you said in that whole long explanation, 80-pound iguana? Think
That's
about
a big
that.
Iguana.
That is a big-ass iguana.
That's
80
iguana.
Pounds. You know what? I always say, it's not for me, but if somebody else wants iguana on their pizza, who am I to stop them? I keep my pizza pretty simple, Clinton.
Yeah.
I'm a pepperoni guy. If you want to throw sausage in there, go ahead. I, like you, do not mind pineapple and Canadian bacon on a pizza. It's fine. But if somebody else, the one thing about pizza, I don't have to eat the same thing that everybody else does. If somebody wants to throw iguana on a pizza, who am I to say no? What do you think?
Iguana meat is actually considered a delicacy in Mexico and Central and South America. So there's all sorts of people eating iguana meat. All right? To each their own. I'm fine with that. The thing about iguana meat is, if you didn't tell me it was iguana meat, I probably wouldn't notice, and therefore I wouldn't care. But if I walk into your pizza joint,
tastes like chicken.
If I walk into your pizza joint and I see some Mondo iguana sticking its nose out of a freezer, I'm probably going to say no on that topping at that point. So maybe clean that up, and I'll be interested.
All right, Funch. Clinton, I got into a huge debate with three friends of mine over NBA powered forwards from this century. All four of us picked a different guy. Like we said, best power forward of this century, who is it? All four of us picked a different guy. Swipe left or swipe right?
I'll swipe left. This is not... The NBA's okay. Back. I don't need to argue about the past right now because I'm worried about Patrick Beverley and LeBron James.
Okay, here's another one. A New York sex club is reopening by coming up with socially distanced orgies. Swipe left or swipe right?
Clearly swiping right due to the name of the game and the topic coming together to fuse nicely with social distancing.
All right, now, hilarious. What could this possibly be?
New York City is moving into phase two of reopening this week. And there is a members-only group called NSFW, which stands for New Society for Wellness, to open up. And they claim that they have figured out a safe way to do it. The city has, believe it or not, issued guidelines for group sex, including to do the deed in well-ventilated areas and keep alcohol-based sanitizer on hand. They've drafted additional safety precautions, including mandatory temperature checks at the door, bringing a separate change of clean clothes in a plastic bag, wearing a mask and gloves, using sanitation stations, and of course, no new sex, which means you can't hook up with anyone besides the partner you came with. Clinton, will these guidelines work? Socially distanced orgies.
I'm going to guess, yeah. I mean, this is what makes the world go round. If people are willing to write up rules, people might be willing to break them. People might be willing to follow them. Masks and gloves?
Seems like a lot.
Well, and the other thing is, if I can only hook up with the person I came with,
why are you going?
Yeah, why do I need to go to the club, right? Like, we could just stay where we are.
You know what? Let's move on. Fudge, hit the button.
Yeah. All right, it's you.
Thank you. All right, let's see here. Nathan's hot dog eating contest not canceled due to coronavirus, Ireland. Swipe left to swipe right.
Swipe left. I don't want to talk about hot dogs.
Okay, that's fine. Just so you know, young journalists out there, if you ever go cover the hot dog eating contest, you might want to wear a mask because you know what matters most? The smell. All right, here we go. Japanese startup company creates internet-connected smart mask. Swipe left or swipe right?
Oh, I'll swipe right. What's a smart mask?
As face coverings become the new norm, a Japanese startup, Donut Robotics, great name for a company there, has developed an internet-connected smart mask that can transmit messages and translate 8 different languages. Yahoo reports that the white plastic sea mask fits over the standard face mask and connects, of course, via Bluetooth to a smartphone and tablet app that can transcribe speech into text messages, make calls, or amplify the mask wearer's voice. Donut Robotics' first 5,000 sea masks will be shipped to buyers in Japan starting in September, and the company plans to eventually sell them in China, the U.S., and Europe. The masks retail for around $40. Ireland, would you ever buy one of these?
I wouldn't, but Clinton, if I was extremely good-looking, like if I was Brad Pitt, George Clooney good-looking, wouldn't this be exactly the device you would need to hook up with someone who didn't speak very good English but was also extremely good-looking? Wouldn't this I mean, probably not very safe in the coronavirus
era, Ireland, hold on.
But this is
the whole point of being good-looking. Is that you don't need no daggone translator when it's time to get it done.
But you do now because if you go out and...
I know that, but you know.
But don't you now need that? If you go out in public, you have to wear a mask.
Perhaps, but I mean, the mask is not going to be the translator in that situation. The mask comes off, and that's the translator. But what I think this is good for, actually, is actually this kind of reminds me of sort of like a health benefit. I sort of think of people who can't otherwise, you know, do as much. Like, this could actually be pretty useful, you know what I'm saying, to somebody who's in a situation where they're otherwise confined and they want to be able to communicate with people and can't use their hands or whatever it may be. I'm very interested to see the application of this. Donut Robotics, getting it done. Big fan.
All right, Funch. All right, last one, Clinton. The city of Boston has banned the use of facial recognition technology, becoming the second largest city to do so. Swipe left or swipe right?
Left. That's too much. I don't want to think about that kind of stuff.
Okay. The last one is, let's do this. In a letter sent to season ticket holders on Thursday, the San Francisco Giants announced that games at Oracle Park will be played without fans, but you can make a cardboard cutout of yourself for $99 and send it to the Giants so you would actually be in the stands. Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. I love this.
Okay, so here's how it works. If you're a season ticket holder, you've already paid a bunch of money, so you just send, like, if you and I have season tickets next to each other, we send a cut out of me, a cut out of you, to the Giants, and so when they play a game, you and I would both be sitting there. But if we're not a season ticket holder, we can pay $99 to what's being called the Giants Fan Cutout Program, and we'd be in the background like when Buster Posey's up to bat. Clinton, if we were not season ticket holders, would you invest $100 to put your mug on TV every time the Giants play a home game?
I would probably do that, but this is kind of shenanigans, owners. Does this count toward the gate? Are y'all keeping that money? What's going on there?
And it's a steep number. I agree with you.
People need to know what's going on with this program. By the way, this is kind of a cool idea. Can you read the name of this thing again? It sounds like some sort of government situation. It's so boring.
It's called the Giants Fan Cutout Program.
Get pumped, guys. The Giants Fan Cutout Program. It sounds like homework.
I can give you a little more info. The cutouts will be made of weatherproof material and will be placed as close to the season ticket holder's seats as possible. What? Going back to a point you made about it being a little shady, $99, I don't even get to go to the game. It would just be a picture of me at a game. Isn't $99 like more than some tickets cost? That's a lot of money. How about $9? What? $100? Isn't that a little steep?
Very weird. And also, be careful, for those of you who follow European soccer, there was a terrorist image that showed up in one of the stands in one of these games because somebody thought that would be funny. So, Giants, pay attention on this one. It's not all fun and games if somebody wants to goof off. But I like the idea a lot. Just bring that price down and tell us what you're doing with the money.
All right, coming up next, we'll let you guys react. 877-710-ESPN to the Lakers' schedule. Starting on July 30th, they basically play every other day for 16 days. Clippers, Raptors, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, Pacers, Nuggets, Kings. Most of these games are in the afternoon. Some of them start at 6 o'clock. The latest, as a matter of fact, the latest start is at 6 o'clock. So we'll let you react to the schedule. Clinton Yates in for Mace, 710 ESPN. We have an NBA basketball schedule. And we have Clinton Yates sitting in for Mace as we get back to, hopefully, the NBA season with a little luck. Okay, so we're talking about nationally televised games. All right, remember, the Lakers, every team's playing 8 games. The Lakers are on national television 7 times. That's more than any other team. The Celtics, 6. The Clippers, Bucks, and Pelicans, 5. The Nuggets, Rockets, Raptors, and Jazz, 4. Mavs, Heat, and Blazers, 3. Grizzlies, Thunder, Sixers, only 2. That surprises me with their star power. And then only one national television appearance for the Nets, Pacers, Magic, Kings, and Spurs.
So, I must admit, I'm a little surprised. I mean, how does that TV, I mean, not to get sidetracked on this, but like, how does that TV breakdown work? Like, is there a reason why these all aren't allegedly nationally televised? I mean,
there's a limit to how many times a team can be nationally televised. They may have thrown those limits out. But the main reason, I think, Clinton, is to protect the local regional sports networks.
I mean, for 8 games? I'm trying to be flip about these deals. I'm just saying that I kind of thought that was going to go out of the window, which was going to be part of the draw for NBA fans, is that you're going to get to see all this. But, I mean, I guess not. That's fair. But I hadn't really thought of it in that terms, but that's interesting. Huh. Okay. Well, you know, as my man Woody Page likes to say, look at the schedule. And let me ask you this, Ireland. Is this the hardest one for the Lakers? Because it's kind of looking like it.
Well, they have a 5.5 game lead.
Yeah, but just in general, like the opponents they face. The lead is one thing, but they still got to play the games. You know what I mean? And I just, this is kind of, because what did we look at? The Pelican schedule on the other side of the break? And that's the easiest one, trying to get them in. Looks to me like the Lakers got a pretty tough one. None of these teams are bad.
All right, 877-710 ESPN, 877-710-3776. Here's Dan in Las Vegas. Hey, Dan, you're on 710 ESPN.
How's it going, guys?
Good, what Dan.
Up? I wanted to ask you a question. As far as the Lakers schedule goes, but like in the finals, like, John, I want to know your personal opinion, and what do you think would be the bigger draw? Lakers-Bucks in the finals or the ultimate showcase? Lakers-Celtics, because it sounds like in this bubble, literally anything can and might even will happen.
Lakers-Celtics would do absolutely monster ratings. It always does. But Giannis against LeBron Clinton would be nothing to shake a stick at. I'm not sure if the Lakers or the... David Stern had a great line when somebody asked him once, who would you like to see in the finals? And instead of ducking the question, David Stern said, Lakers versus Lakers.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, as long as you get the Lakers in it, you're going to do a huge number.
I was going to say, this iteration of the Celtics, I don't know, brings as much wattage to that pairing as it once did. And it's not to take anything away from the rivalry, but in the presence of Giannis, I absolutely think Giannis is who the NBA would want in the league, and that's who I would want in the finals, too, because I'm trying to see this guy go far. He's a fantastic basketball player. The Celtics are fine, and in terms of the rivalry, that's obviously something that's going to fuel a lot of local interest and national interest as well. But, I mean, Giannis is a pretty big deal, you know, globally, and I think a lot of people want to see him, too.
One of my great regrets is, and, you know, obviously I can't control it, but in 2010, it appeared... that the Lakers, or I'm sorry, in 2009, it appeared that the Lakers and Cavs were on a collision course to meet in the finals, and we would have had Kobe LeBron in the finals. Remember, Nike had those puppets, Kobe LeBron puppets, and
those thought fantastic.
This is going to be Bird Magic Part 2, Kobe against LeBron in the final. It's going to be spectacular, and that's the year the Cavs got upset. And Orlando not only knocked them out, but knocked the Celtics out.
Yep.
And so I'm not gonna, like, I'd love to see Giannis LeBron before LeBron retires. That'd be great. And you're right, there isn't a Giannis type figure on that Boston roster this year. Jason Tatum may turn into that.
Yeah.
And Kemba Walker's really good. But Giannis is a much better player than anyone the Celtics have on their roster.
Yeah, and he's an international superstar, which nobody on the Celtics is. They got stars, but they don't got people like Giannis who are pulling numbers literally around the globe. It's just a different discussion with the Bucks in it at this point.
Boy, that that opening night, June 30th, a couple weeks ago when golf came back, when it drew like 3 million fans on TV, it was up 60% from what a normal golf tournament does. Can you imagine the numbers? 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, Lakers Clippers on June 30th, with everybody has had no live sports to watch at all. How many people? That's gonna do like a finals rating.
Bro, I moved to Los Angeles to be able to watch those kind of games in lovely daytime while I cook out on the porch. I am pumped up about this. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be fantastic. I am really looking forward to it. I am very, very excited.
Now, the Clippers have a much easier schedule than the Lakers do, but the Lakers have a 5.5-game cushion. So you wonder if Doc Rivers, once he realizes he can't catch the Lakers, just starts resting his guys anyway. Just starts resting. But, you know, they tend to load manage anyway. So my thought is they probably do some of that here, don't you?
So this is a critical question to me because, I mean, what's load management versus just sort of the gear up? I mean, the games, not the games played, but the standings, I'm not going to say they don't matter, but they kind of don't. We talked about this earlier, the home court advantage situation. To me, it's a matter of how are you using your games to tune up for the season? And maybe that's not always just rest. Everybody's been off for a while. You might need to play some basketball here, which is why I think that the competition game for game is important for the Lakers. Because if they're going up against tougher talent every night, trying to work their different sets and figure out what their matchups are going to be and their lineups are going to be, well, if they do it right, they're better off, you know what I'm saying, going in, which is not anything unfair. I mean, that's what you got to do. You got a better challenge, but it'll be interesting to see how some of these teams play this. You got guys talking about how, some teams are going to use this as an extended training camp. So it's like, all right, well, if they're just rolling out bums, is the other team going to do that? Or are they going to try to actually hone something because we've been off for so long? That's actually going to be a very tricky challenge for a lot of these coaches in the league going into this tournament, because what do you do? You know, you're not going to play everything sort of for lack of a better term, balls out, because you don't really know what's going to happen. But at the same time, you've got to tweak your things for the playoffs. It's quite the challenge from a strategy standpoint.
Here's Chris in San Pedro. Hey, Chris, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John. Hey, Clinton. Great show today. So I was just saying, they have a 5.5-game lead over the Clippers, right? So you put all your urgency into that opening night matchup against the Clippers. Now you're up 6.5 with 7 games to go. Now, I understand, you're not winning the conference for home court advantage. That's a major blow. But at the same point in time, you also don't want to fall and get a tougher first-round matchup where you would have to face potentially an Oklahoma City or a Utah. So on the one aspect, you beat the Clippers, you get a mental edge over them, considering you beat them the last two times, which is going to be closer to the team that you see going into a potential Western Conference Finals matchup. And you get to kind of put minutes restrictions on LeBron and AD, give other guys a look. So the other games, I know Clinton just said the schedule is tough, and I agree, it is tough. But if you wrap up that first night, there won't be as much urgency. So it's going to be more or less of getting the chemistry right and really treating those last 7 games like a training camp, while also not sliding down to the to a 2 seed and getting a tougher first round matchup.
But do you think, Chris, in your own head, it's even possible they slide to the 2 seed, 5.5 up with 8 to go?
I've seen crazier things happen. I saw the Phillies one time out 5 games with 7 to play, take out the Mets for the NL East title. So anything is possible. I understand baseball is a different animal, but yeah, more than likely, even if they lose to the Clippers, they probably won't fall. But I'm saying, though, as far as minutes restriction and not putting guys in a position where they could even get infected or whatnot, I think that should also be the mentality. So I could be reaching a little bit, but I just think that's an important point.
All right, thanks for the phone call.
That was a great phone call, by the way. With the return of serve coming with a baseball analogy, that was fantastic, or baseball example. But here's the deal. If you expect them to be able to gel, they have to be able to play basketball together. That's the thing. That's why this is so awkward, especially with Avery Bradley being gone and you're getting a new guy in. At some point, you have to play basketball to see that you can still do it together as well as you can. And so this is such a tricky balance. That's what I mean by that, is that you don't know what's going to happen when you actually roll the balls out because you've been off for so long. And you can't just sit there and say, oh, we can wrap it up and sit down, because you don't know where the chemistry is going to be. And it's a tough balance. This is not as easy as it looks in terms of just wrapping it up for the standings. And that's why this is going to be quite the job for Vogel to handle.
We got a tweet from a listener named Michael Washington. Michael, thank you for listening. He said, Ireland, swipe right. I really want to know the power forward debate. All right, we'll do it in 30. We'll do it in 30 seconds. Clinton, here it is. Okay, in his prime. Okay, you get to pick. You only get to pick one. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Karl Malone, Dirk Nowitzki. Who is it?
Wake Forest Stone, Timmy Duncan. Not a question.
Ahead of Malone, the second leading scorer in NBA history?
Ahead of Malone, because I don't like Karl Malone as much as I like Tim Duncan. That's where that one goes for me. If I need him on my bench, I need him in my clubhouse, I need him talking to children in the schools, I'm picking Timmy D every single time. That's why he's a coach in the league and not sitting in a lodge yelling at somebody on a documentary on ESPN.
all right. Coming up next, we'll get into headlines, some of the stories we haven't had time to get to. The NBA schedule is out. We'll talk about that throughout the rest of the show as well. Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.